Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. There are tens of thousands of people in the region who never earned a high school diploma. That's an impediment to getting good jobs, of course, and to professional advancement. The library systems are partnering and offering an online high school diploma program. It's only been in operation for a few weeks now, but it's already proving to be hugely popular. Joining me in studio to take a closer look are Kristen Sorth, the director of the St. Louis County Library, and Waller McGuire, the executive director of the St. Louis Public Library. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Hi.
Hi, Don. Thanks for having us.
And congratulations on this program. We'll get into detail in just a moment. But, Kristen, I'll start with you. It's very clear these days that libraries are not just about borrowing books anymore.
That's exactly
this is a case in point.
Yeah. We're really more of a community center. I think we often refer to ourselves that way. And we are trying to find ways to meet patrons where they are and coming up with programs and services to help our community and to help people in the community. And this is one of those ways we came up with.
What got all of this started, Waller? I mean, in the broader sense, this idea of coming closer to the community.
Well, people come up to us for knowledge and information, and that's become such a broad thing. Nearly everything qualifies as something that patrons come to the library and expect help with. And actually, Kristen started this. We found the possibility – we looked at it and found it too expensive, and Kristen found that it was possible for the two libraries to work together and offer it to our patrons.
Diploma program.
Yes, the high school program. Yes. So we're always looking at ways that we can address the region as opposed to just our own smaller area. And that's kind of the way that patrons think of libraries too. Honestly, patrons don't think of borders between libraries. They know they live in cities or small towns. But they think of a public library as something that everyone has access to. And so we work at that all the time.
Kristen, I was really surprised to see the number of people in the community, in the region here, who really have a need for a diploma program such as the one you're providing.
I think Waller and I were both stunned, maybe. 90,000 people between our two library districts is a tremendous amount of people. And I think there's all kinds of studies out there that talk about what that means for an individual and a family and a region, frankly, to have that many people without a high school diploma. So we really saw it as reacting to a need and offering an additional option to people. There's certainly other options for people without high school diplomas, but this one's online, and it could be more convenient for people.
Waller, what are some of those ramifications for people who don't have that diploma?
Well, it affects the individual and their family. It limits what they can do in terms of their work life. In many cases, I think even getting a job these days without a high school diploma is virtually impossible. It limits them in all sorts of ways and then limits their children. It's just sort of an endless backup of a problem that one can't get over. So not only does it affect the individual, but affects the community. As Kristen was saying, everyone is looking at the news now about trying to attract Amazon and big companies to the community. Believe me, big companies pay attention to the worker base of a city, and that kind of number of enormous numbers of people without high school degrees is something that companies pay attention to. So this is sort of a unique program that a certain kind of niche can go back and recover in a way, a lack that happened when they were young and made a mistake perhaps early on or just had a problem that they couldn't overcome. And now this is a possibility to step beyond that and start a new life in a way.
But are these people that you're trying to reach people who would normally be using the library anyway?
A combination, I would say. There are an amazing number of people who come to the libraries to use technology. They don't have it at home. They don't have access to it. And most of the world is only available online now. So a lot of these people actually are in the library every day. But there's also a group who don't think they belong in the library, don't think that it has resources, and that frankly that they're not smart enough for it perhaps. But so one of the things that this will do is teach them, we hope, reach out to them and show them we can be a resource and they can change their lives at a library.
Kristen, how do you reach out to them?
Well, certainly through programs like this, of course, getting the word out. And then we've been out through social media. We're also reaching out to our partners in the community, talking to other nonprofits that are working with individuals who might be interested in this program. And we're just really doing our best to get the word out so that people will apply and do the online application. And we've actually seen quite an amazing response so far. We just launched a couple weeks ago, and we talked to the vendor who's providing this service, and they've never seen a response like they're seeing in St. Louis. And we were kind of caught off guard a little bit by how many people filled out the online application. I think we had 300 people in this by noon of the second day.
And you had places for how many?
Well, we have 57 scholarships at St. Louis County, and Waller has 31 at St. Louis Public. So there's a bigger demand than what we have available.
Let's talk about how it works, the nuts and bolts of this thing. And we'll start with you.
How
does it work?
Well, an individual fills out an online application form, and then after that, they actually do an initial class, and then they go through an interview process. So it's a pretty stringent selection process because these are fundraised scholarships, and we want to make sure that the individuals will be successful in the online program. And then once they go through that process, then and they're selected, then they start taking the courses. They have an online coach, and then each of us have employees at each of our library systems that will help the students as well.
Waller, tell me about these scholarships. Who provides them and what is provided?
Well, it's a fairly expensive undertaking because there is a lot of support for this program. As Kristen says, there are tutors through the company online, and then we have them in the libraries that are available to guide people through this. So it was necessary to raise money to do this, and the libraries actually choose a student who will be awarded a scholarship. So we're doing that really carefully. Kristen mentions the sort of rigorous testing that happens. That goes on to make sure that the students can work online and know how to do an online course. So this is an entirely online learning experience. So they are taking and learning the information and being tested online. So we'll go through all of that, and we want to be successful with this because in the St. Louis Public Library's case, it's the Emerson Corporation that's funding the opportunities for this. And then county did a broad fundraising effort. It was John Hamm who raised a lot of the money for the county library. That was a great thing. So those are generous people who've helped us. But we want to be responsible to them. So we want to make sure that as many people, a highest percentage possible of people complete the program. So we're choosing those people who will be most likely to succeed, who are best able to carry this through. And then frankly, I think both of us hope that we'll have success at this and that we'll be able to expand it in further years and that we'll have more people wanting to do this.
What is the value, Kristen, of these scholarships, and are the libraries making money on this?
So we're not making money on it.
Libraries don't make
we
any
don't
money,
make money
on anything.
The scholarships, the way it's set up is our partnership together gives us an amount for the scholarship. So our scholarships at the level that we've purchased, so 81, is $1,255 a person. And as Waller said, our foundation is fundraising as well, and we had John Hamm here this summer, and he helped us raise almost $50,000 for the program. And our scholarships are actually named after John Hamm. So we really appreciate him coming and supporting this. He's a former educator and was really interested by the program.
All right. How long, Waller, does the course last?
For most students, it takes some time between a year and 18 months. So these are designed for older students, 25 and older, who've completed part of a high school degree but didn't succeed in getting their full degree. So it depends on how much high school work they've done. And if they have more courses that can transfer, they'll have a shorter time. But it needs to be completed within 18 months. The scholarship expires after 18 months. So both the tutors from the company that are supplying this and the library's own counselors will be nipping at the heels of students, trying to make sure that they're successful and that they're doing their homework and that they're completing their courses. And the support is one of the important parts of this.
Who oversees the curriculum?
The curriculum is actually provided through the company, and they have a national body that accredits it. Mm-hmm. So it's a curriculum that they've used at other libraries around the country. And it, in fact, the entire state of Colorado and the entire state of California offers this to patrons in all of their library systems.
Mm. But it's a rather narrow selection of curriculum, is it not?
It is. It's based on what is necessary to achieve the high school diploma. And so that they're not doing it's not like going to a high school for 4 years. It's narrowly focused. And it also has certificates. So they earn a career certificate when they graduate in a number of fields.
And what does that mean, a career certificate?
So someone interested in food service or health service or mechanics can actually target their education and get some specific job-related training in those areas. And so it helps find jobs in a specific field. And there are only, I think, eight
right.
Different areas, fairly broad, that they can concentrate in, but it helps people who have a specific interest do so. It's a really unusual program in that it is literally a diploma program. It's very different than, for instance, the GED, which is a great program, but you don't get a diploma at the end of that program. Here with High School Online, you literally get a diploma from a school, an accredited school in all 50 states. So that's quite valuable for students, for instance, who are wanting to go on. And we've had a lot of questions about students who want to go on into junior college or community college or just a full college degree, and this will allow them to pursue that seamlessly. Mm-hmm. So that's really unusual and another reason we were interested in doing it, and it's a different way of pursuing a high school degree than some of the other options available in St. Louis now.
Right. Kristen, you mentioned the prospect for expansion early on. Obviously, more money would be needed to do that. Is there any potential for government involvement in this in terms of funding?
Well, I certainly think there could be. In Colorado, actually, it's funded by the state of Colorado. This program mm-hmm. is through the public libraries. Mm-hmm. So if there's additional interest in additional library systems that want to do this, and we should mention that Kansas City Public and Mid-Continent Public in suburban Kansas City are sort of counterparts on the other side of the state. Mm-hmm. They do this program as well. So we're kind of hitting the two sides of the state, the biggest urban centers.
Hmm. We are talking about an online high school diploma program that is now underway between the city and county library systems. Our guests in studio are Kristen Sorth, director of the St. Louis County Library, and Walter McGuire, executive director of the St. Louis Public Library. Come back to continue the conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, don't hesitate to give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd like to send a tweet, do that. Perhaps you've been involved in a non-traditional route to finding a diploma somewhere along the way. We'd like to hear from you. Any questions about the program, give us a call. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with Kristen Sorth, director of the St. Louis County Library, and Walter McGuire, who is the executive director of the St. Louis City Public Library. We have a call I'd like to take right now, folks. Let's bring in Sally from Eureka. She has a call relating to your program and adult education, I believe. Go ahead, Sally.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And I commend everybody for this effort because, as you've pointed out, without a high school diploma, your future is virtually nil. My question is, why in designing this program, and I understand you're replicating what other libraries have done, did you not partner with the adult education programs in the St. Louis City and county areas? They are programs of long standing. They have many, many students, and they've had an online component for probably 20 years. It seems like a partnership would have been cheaper and possibly there are so many ways to collaborate. I'm just curious why you went in a totally different direction.
Sally, thanks for the call. Who'd like to take that?
I can start. Yeah. The program that we're using is actually only available to library systems. And I do think that there's, on the Kansas City side, they have partnered with a nonprofit. But the libraries are the ones that are the ones that are the sponsor, because that's a requirement of this program through Gale, Cengage. But I think that we have an audience, I think, at the libraries, and we had a desire to reach out to the community to offer programs to adults that, as Waller said, may not consider the libraries as a place for them to go. And we also wanted to do things like offer them Chromebooks to use during their studies, and some additional things. And this is just early days in the process, and we were kind of piggybacking off of what everybody else did, and also the way the program is designed for it to be a partnership with library systems.
And I do think this is just a beginning, and you make a very good point, because there are wonderful resources in the communities, and frankly, libraries work very hard to refer people to some of those possibilities. So this isn't the only way that one can come to a library and help get a high school degree. We actually interview prospective students, and we might refer them to a GED program or one of the community programs that help people get degrees in different ways. So I think this is really just a start, and I'd love to see it blossom into a whole variety of sort of options of a way that people can contact help through a library and be guided, and perhaps it would be a good thing to partner even more closely than we do now with different community resources in this quest to help people succeed in life.
Kristen, you had indicated earlier that I think the joint enrollment is a little over 60, something like that, between the city and the county?
It's
88 students so
yes.
far. If you had the funding, how many students could you accommodate at any one time if the funding were there?
You know, we haven't talked about that, have we? I think that it would depend on – I don't think we know at this point. I think it's – we both hired people to support this program, and I think we need to see what is involved in supporting the students as they go. Of course, they have an online coach, but it's our understanding that the individuals working at the library have a huge role to play in that as well, as Waller said, saying, have you done your homework? Where are you at in the program? Are you stuck? Those kinds of things. So before we can decide how much more we can take on, I think we have to see what it's like with our first couple of students.
Both of our libraries are using our outreach departments, and we do a lot of different outreach to different people in the community and different groups. And so it's not their only job, frankly. They're really excited and enthusiastic about this, but we're just figuring it out, and the people at the St. Louis Public Library, and I'm sure at County and as well, who've been working with the applicants, have been really excited. But wow, the first week was a little overwhelming, so we're just feeling our way through it.
The online coaches, I gather, are not library employees. You have mentors in the library. The online coaches belong to the company that runs the system?
They do. They
educators, degreed educators. And interestingly, most of them are in Florida. I don't know what
yes.
that connection is, but they work online and by the phone with patrons, students.
They must be pretty busy, because obviously you're not the only libraries involved in this program.
We actually met and spoke with some of them. They came to the American Library Association meeting, and they were a really interesting bunch. And many of them get really personally involved with the students. They know the details of their lives. They know their life stories. So like our own employees, they're a pretty passionate group. And you have to really want to do this, I think, to do it well.
The starting age is 25 for Kristen. Why did you was that number picked? And can anyone over the age of 25 become
involved?
Oh,
sure. It's 25 and older. And the reason that we started at that age is because we didn't want to kind of overlap with the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education and the funding for public school systems. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to establish an age that where we were grabbing people that had sort of been missed along mm-hmm. the way and were looking to make some changes in their life and go back to school when they were older.
Walter, could this program have been possible if your two institutions hadn't collaborated on this?
No, the St. Louis Public Library had actually looked at it and decided we just couldn't afford it. It wasn't until Kristen investigated further and we negotiated with a company that does this that by joining together and adding the numbers together, they could bring the price down to a place we could afford. So it's only as a regional effort and as the two libraries working together that we could do it at all.
What kind of a track record does the company – what is the company, by the way, that is doing this?
It's Gale Cengage is the company, and they actually supply databases to libraries all over and other mm-hmm. educational resources to libraries all over the country and in Canada. I believe the graduation rate is around 70%. Mm-hmm. So they have a pretty good track record, good enough that they're incredibly passionate about this. And I don't think we mentioned it, but the graduation ceremonies, and there will be them, are actually held at the libraries. Mm-hmm. And they have cap and gown, and they get a high school diploma presented to them at the graduation ceremony. And I've seen some of the videos on YouTube of those, and they're incredibly emotional.
Is there any number as to the number of people who have gone through this program?
It's over 6,000 who've actually gotten degrees through the right. program. So it's a – I know that doesn't sound like an enormous number in comparison to the people who don't have a high school degree, but that's a lot of lives changed. So even the 100 a year in St. Louis we think will – make a real difference. It was also interesting, the company found out that they partnered with some different organizations, but libraries had the highest success rate of any really? Group they'd partnered with. I think it's because the library really truly belongs to the people who are in the doors, and we're in their neighborhood, and so it's kind of a personal connection is my suspicion. So libraries have been a very successful partner that this company is eager to work with. So we're looking forward to maybe developing that partnership some. Mm-hmm.
I asked that question about collaboration a moment ago because we have a tweet from Dan who says the St. Louis County Library, St. Louis Public Library in the city, municipal systems like UCity, et cetera, already has share resources. Why don't you two guys merge?
We talk about that now and then. Kristen is rolling her eyes because I'm always after. There are a lot of responsibilities here, and we're responsible to our taxpayers and our city governments. But what we're trying to do is find the best ways, the most efficient, effective ways to work together. And who knows where this will lead. I think there are real possibilities. But we need to be smart about it, and we need to think it through. The county and city libraries have been working together for almost 30 years now. Gosh, I was part of the group that negotiated an agreement between city and county that lets us use one another's library. Kristen was probably in grade school when I was doing that. But so that was very innovative at the time, and we've been doing that now for almost 30 years. So we're always looking for ways to improve service and improve the region as a whole. That's our job.
Well, Kristen, what are some of the things that you might be looking at in the not-too-distant future?
Well, I mentioned it just briefly, but St. Louis Public Library and St. Louis County Library are going to start lending Wi-Fi hotspots to our patrons, so they'll be able to check out these hotspots. So for individuals that don't have access to the internet, Wi-Fi in their homes, they can check them out and take them wherever they go, basically. Mm-hmm. And we plan to launch that at the first of the year, and we'll be lending those to our individual patrons, but announcing it as a region and coming together to say we know that this is a need, that there's still quite a few people in the region that don't have access to the internet, and we're responding to that need together.
I have a feeling the library's just got 100 calls, one
in
the first hotspot. So they're not available yet, but they will be shortly, and they'll be an exciting new service. So we're looking at ways that for our patrons, the region can just be seamless to them. That's one of the things that we'd like to see happen.
What did happen to cause libraries to become the kind of community centers that were mentioned earlier? We've done programs on this in the past, but during the Ferguson unrest, for instance, the Ferguson Library
sure.
played a key role as a community center. What really has charged this whole atmosphere?
I think that libraries are amazing at responding to the needs of their patrons and to change with the times. And we are beyond the library of come in and get a book and leave as quick as you can and please don't make any noise mm-hmm. while you're here kind of thing. I think we offer programs and services to children and adults and teens, and that we're just a place where people think, if I need it, I'm going to go to the library. And I think both of our systems have places where people can go and spend the day, you know, working on a project or studying. And we just have evolved into something very different. However, I think at the root of the library has always been a community-based place, that was always a place where people went to have conversations and discussions and to learn. And we've just expanded that in different ways that didn't exist at the beginning of libraries. Hmm.
We're in the neighborhoods. We're in everyone's neighborhoods. It's literally our job, the staff's job, to reach out and help. And they do that very well. They work hard on that. And so I think people realize that, and they recognize libraries as a place to go for help. And that changes how they work with us.
Yeah. Who is enrolling? Of the 88 you have now, who are they?
They are individuals really from all over our region, I think. And we have some individuals that are in their 30s. I think it's the gamut. I don't think we're seeing a huge trend yet in people enrolling.
We haven't actually picked the first class yet. We're still reviewing and working and speaking with. So far, the people who've come to us are largely on the younger end of the scale. They're in their late 20s, largely. And some of them have worked at other programs and not been able to complete a degree because they're doing it at night or around a job or child rearing. There are a lot of people who have children of their own or trying to get a high school degree. So that's fairly common. There are people who need the flexibility and tend to be in their late 20s.
Yeah. It hasn't started. I thought it started on October 2nd.
So it started in terms of people applying, but we're still going through the applications, and we haven't, neither one of us have started interviewing yet. We'll do that in the next, you know, month or so. And we really think we'll probably have people enrolled in the class probably later this year, starting to take a class.
Well, believe me, people are impatient.
They want to start now.
They want to be accepted, and they want to start work on their degree.
Will there be a summer vacation for these folks?
It goes straight through.
It does.
It is hard work, honestly, if you can imagine, you know, trying to do it around, again, a job, a family. And many of these people have very challenging personal lives. So it's going to be a tough road to hoe. But we are – gosh, there's an expression I haven't heard for a while. But we're working to be whatever assistance we can.
All righty. Well, we'll put the relevant information on our website.
Great.
So folks can continue to pursue this subject.
That'd be great.
And hopefully it will be expanded. Thanks to Kristen Sorth so much for being with us, Director of the St. Louis County Library, and Walter McGuire, the Executive Director of the St. Louis Public Library.
Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Don. Always a pleasure.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.